I am going to look at data manipulation just briefly. Then I'm actually going to skip record and table types because it's very abstract. And I'm going to end up using that in cursors. And so I'm going to kind of refer back to it as I go. I've tried that, I think, last year, and I think it worked out better because the concepts under records and tables are more understandable when you see them applied in a better way. So I'm going to quickly go through data manipulation, which is basically creating a sequence and doing a few other little things within PLSQL, and it's a few other examples of PLSQL. Okay, so I've got this table called TestPLSQL, and I want to create a sequence. And the sequence, we looked at creating a sequence before, but I want to create a sequence. Now, a sequence is not tied to a table, but I want to make it clear that it's the sequence that I plan to use for that table. So I'm giving it a name that relates it to a table. Now, that may not be appropriate. You may want to give it a name that relates to what the sequence number that you're doing is. But I just decided it was going to relate to this table, so I was going to give it a sequence name that related to this table. I said I want to increment every time through by one. I want to start with 111, and I want to max out at 999. Okay, so then I came down and I said, okay, now I'm going to make something called test insert. Okay, so I've got this edit test insert. So I go out to the editor and I make a script. And I said, I want a VID number that matches the ID number that I did in TestPLSQL. Okay, so it will use that particular ID. So then I said, okay, now I'm going to select next val. Okay, so I created the sequence, and the sequence has this name. And I'm saying I want to take the next val in that sequence, okay, and make it the VID number. And I need a from clause there, but in fact, I'm not particularly interested in a table, so I used from dual. So it goes out and it gets the next number and it puts it into VID number. And then I said, okay, now make a record that I'm going to put into the file up here. Make a record and I'm going to insert the VID number that I just got from the sequence, the person's name and other information about them. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to put in an ID number that's the next sequence, you know, the next number in the sequence. And again, the value of this is if multiple people are creating records. Okay, this keeps track of what the next sequence number should be. Okay, if you're one person and you're the only person that touches this, then sequence doesn't have the same level of value as it does if you have multiple people can add records to this table and you want to grab the next sequence number. And the sequence number is out on the server, so I'm going to the sequence thing called TestPLSQL sequence, and its sole job is really to keep track of where I am and when I use something to add one to it and then not let it get out of the range that I've set. So apparently I have a 3-character number. You can see I do up there with number 3. I decided I wanted to start with 111, and the max value I can fit into 3 characters is 999. So that's why I put the 999 there, okay? And so I am putting it in, and if you look down below, and if I choose what I share, if I make an X there, and actually come in now, you can see that it put in the 111 as the person's ID. Okay, so I put in John Smith. It was the first time I used the sequence, so they got a 111. Okay. So now I come back, come down, and I think I took about 10 pictures of that, and I do the next one, and the next one is going to have the 112. Okay, so I did another insert, and I'm getting the 112. And when I do another insert, I'll get the 113. Okay, and if we both were working on the same table, if you did it, you'd get the 114, and then I'd get the 115, and you'd get the 116, and so forth. Okay? So it keeps track of the sequences. And then I went in and I modified this to have an accept. And I put out a bunch of accepts. And notice they're in the script, but they're not in the PLSQL. The PLSQL starts with the declare. So these accepts are in the script. They could have been done at the SQL prompt, but then I wouldn't be keeping track of them. So the accepts are in the script, but they're not in the PLSQL. Okay, the PLSQL starts with the declare. So I've got the accepts coming in. I am then taking and assigning those values to variable names. And then I am doing the insert, okay? Actually, I'm doing the select first to get the sequence number, the VID number. And then I'm doing the insert. Okay, so anytime somebody wants to enter a record into this table, they can run this script, and that script will prompt for the information and do the insert. Okay. And again, I lose track of, sometimes I end up going home and having four different pictures that I took of the same thing when I go to edit. Okay, then on this one, I went in and did an update. And so I'm basically saying enter the ID of the record you want to change, and I'm going in and doing an update. Okay, so I went and extracted a particular record. Then I multiplied the V amount by 1.1, and then I did an update. I can also do a delete, and down here I did a delete. I took in an ID number and I deleted a particular record, and when I do a delete, a record goes away. Okay, so I have it going away. I had put in a spot so I could do a rollback and get it back, because I really didn't want to delete it. So I did a rollback and got it back. And okay, that was basically, I think that pretty much wraps it up. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start looking at curses. So go down to Introduction to Curses. Okay. Now, curses are important. Oracle supports two types of curses that can be used in PLSQL, the implicit cursor and the explicit cursor. The implicit cursor is created and managed by PLSQL, while the executable part of the PLSQL block processes an SQL statement. The explicit cursor is created and managed by the programmer. So in other words, the implicit cursor is when Oracle looks at what you're doing and says, I need a cursor. It makes an implicit cursor, and it handles it behind the scenes when it sees that you need it. You can make a cursor, however. Okay, so a cursor is the way that you process multiple records. Okay, so what I do with a cursor is I put the records into the cursor, and then I process them one at a time. So I loop through the cursor. Okay, so I put records into the cursor, which is really kind of a storage area in memory. You can think of it that way. And then when I want to process the records, I loop through the cursor. Now, the computer, PLSQL, will support, will figure out how many records to put in the cursor and when to add more records to the cursor and all that. So it will keep track of what's in the cursor. In other words, if there's 10,000 records, it's not going to put all 10,000 into the cursor. It's going to manage the cursor for you. But you can act like the 10,000 records are all there. But it will manage the cursor and keep putting things into the cursor. Okay, so I created a table here. Okay, I created a, called a donor pot. And it's going to have the name, the year, goal, and the state. So I said, okay, create table donor pot. And I want the name, the year, goal, and the state as select the name, year, goal, and state from donor. So I went into the donor table and I extracted the three records that I care about. And I created the table. And there are six records on donor. And so I have six records here. Okay? But I have not carried all the information that was on donor. Now, my main reason for doing that is that it makes it easier to illustrate if I've got three fields as opposed to donor has a whole bunch of fields in it. So it just makes it easier to deal with. So I made this table called donor pot. Okay, now, when using explicit cursors in PLSQL, there are four things that must be accomplished by the programmer. First, the cursor must be declared. Second, the cursor needs to be open. Third, the fetch is used to fetch the results of the query into the variables declared in PLSQL, and that's the main focus that we're going to look at in a second. And fourth, the cursor needs to be closed. Okay? So, I come down here, and I have set up VName, remember I'm working with only those three things. VName, VYear goal, and VState. So those match the three fields that I have out there. Then I set up the cursor because I'm now declaring the cursor. Okay? And so when I declare the cursor, okay, so this is first the cursor must be declared. And that's where I'm declaring it. So I say, okay, the cursor is going to be called donor cursor and is going to have the name, year, goal, and state from donor. So I'm basically saying that I'm going to take and put in the cursor the stuff that's on the table. Now, I only have six records, so it's going to throw all six into the cursor. However, if I had, as I said, 10,000 records, it will manage the cursor, so it will act like I had them all there. But it will manage the cursor. Okay, so now I've got the cursor declared. And then I say, okay, now I gotta go down, and the next thing I gotta do is open the cursor. And you can see that I do the open right there. So I'm now opening the cursor. And then I'm going to close the cursor, which is the fourth one, and the stuff in between is where I am essentially managing the cursor. Okay, so I'm saying open the donor cursor, and then I say fetch donor cursor. Now fetch is basically the cursor's read. when I'm reading from the cursor, I'm using the fetch. So the fetch is basically the read. So I'm saying fetch donor cursor into vname via goal vstate. Okay, so what I've got here is I've set up what the cursor is supposed to look like. Nothing is there until I open it. When I open it, the cursor gets filled. Okay, so the cursor now has those six records that I'm dealing with. And again, here are the six records. Those six records are now sitting in the cursor. So the fetch, that first fetch there, is going to fetch, and it's going to fetch that first record. Okay, so it's going to put Stephen Daniels into vname, and it's going to put the 500 into via goal, and it's going to put mass into vstate. Now, this is following the concept of how you step through something. Okay, this is the initializing read. Initializing or first read. Okay, so it reads the first record. All other records are read here. Read or fetched. That's read or fetch. Fetch is the read. So I am saying, okay, read the first record. Now go into the loop. And the loop is saying, keep doing this loop while donor cursor found. Okay, so that means while the donor cursor is found, meaning while there's something in the cursor still, it's going to loop. So it's read a record. If, in fact, that read was unsuccessful, it would drop out and end the loop. But we're assuming that the read was successful, that because there's data here. So it reads Stephen Daniels in, and then I say, while donor cursor was found. Well, something was found. So it went and did an insert. Okay, and it inserted the things in. And then I said, okay, now fetch the next thing. Okay? So I went down and did another fetch. So basically I'm putting data into a table. Okay? Because I'm saying keep inserting and fetching. Okay? Basically I got rid of the table that I first created. And I'm now putting data into the table. So, okay. So I'm saying select name your goal state from donor, open the donor cursor, fetch it into vname via goal vstate. Okay, because notice I'm fetching from donor. Okay, I'm fetching from donor. The cursor is taking stuff from donor, and I'm putting it into donor part. Okay, so I had created that table, and then I took the data out, and I'm putting it back in. Okay. So I'm saying, while that's there, insert into donor part. So I fetched from donor, Stephen Daniels, the year goal and everything, then I'm inserting it in down here. This is donor part. It's not donor, it's donor part. So I'm inserting it in there, and then I do another fetch. And then I loop back, because it says in loop. So I loop back. And I keep going through that. And I'm doing the standard thing of reading before I go into the loop, which sets up. This is the setup. So I read before I go into the loop. The loop is controlled by basically when I hit end of file. It's comparable to when I hit end of file, because what I'm doing is hitting end of cursor. I'm saying keep doing it while there's something in the cursor. And so while something's in the cursor, I loop. And what I do in the loop is I do my insert, and then I do a fetch, which reads the next record from donor that's in the cursor.
It takes the record from the cursor.
So basically, rather than reading data from the database, I am filling the data, the cursor, with data, and then I'm reading from the cursor. And I'm doing that using the fetch command. Does that make sense? Yeah.
The first fetch command before the while, when it goes back to the loop, it doesn't go to that fetch command, does it? That's only for the first time.
That's right. That's only for the first time. All the other records are handled with the fetch that's inside the loop. And notice I do that last. If I do the initializing, the purpose of the initializing is to give me something to process. So if I do an initializing read, I can go in with something to process. If I don't, then I have to do the fetch at the top. And what if that fetch didn't work, if there wasn't any data? So the easiest way to handle things is I want the fetch at the bottom just before I check to see if I should do it again. Well, to have the fetch at the bottom, I don't have a record to handle the first time. So I put the initializing fetch above the loop. So that gets me one record to handle, and then I can do the fetch just before I loop back. Okay. The other way of coding it, as I said, is to put the fetch first. But then what happens when the fetch doesn't find something? I'm already in the loop, so I have to have an if statement in there that says if it was found, then process, otherwise don't. And so the code becomes more convoluted than if I have an initializing fetch and then the fetch right at the bottom of the loop. And that's a fairly standard way for coding read statements and everything else. And it's definitely my preference. So I tend to code this way. You know, you'll pick up other people that will put the fetch at the top and they'll have the if statement in there. And that works. I just think it's more convoluted, so I like this approach better. Questions? Okay. So now I just went back and said, okay, I can put processing in here. If I say I only want to put records in that have a year goal greater than 50. Okay, so I can basically, my purpose here was I can do all kinds of processing in here. I can say I'm only going to do the insert if the year goal is greater than 50. Okay, but there's a better way to do that. And the better way is down here. Let's see if I can get that. The better way is this. Since I know I only want to insert records where the year goal is greater than 50, why don't I just put just those records into the cursor? Rather than putting everything into the cursor and then having to weed out. Better to do the weed out at the beginning and only put the records that I care about into the cursor. Okay? And this really cuts down on processing because there might only be, I might be looking for, I only want CI, there are people in the CI department or something. So instead of getting the whole school, I'm only going to get people in the CI department if I put a Hoyer major equals CI up there. Okay? So basically, the cursor can be used to select records that meet criteria. So instead of getting all of the records and then having to have an if statement inside the loop, I can put the if statement very frequently on the cursor and only get records that meet certain criteria. Now, if I have an if statement where I say, if it's this, do this, if it's this, do this, if it's this, do this, then I can't do that. I got to have an if statement. But if I've got a simple if, like I had, it's far more effective to put it in the cursor and only put records in the cursor that meet my criteria. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm trying to see what I actually did differently here. Oh, difference is this one had a while loop. This one I changed over to a loop with an exit. Okay, and on this one I said exit when donut cursor not found.
I like the while loop better for a whole variety of reasons. First of all, the while loop operates basically the same in every language, so it's kind of a nice no-brainer to use the while loop. The second thing is, back when I first learned to program, they had what was fondly called a go-to statement. And the go-to statement was how we did control, until I learned to program a little better and stopped using the go-to statement. But the go-to statement would send you to, you'd put paragraph names, like, or you'd put names of sections, module names, and the go-to would send you all over the place. And it wasn't a very structured approach. This exit is like what you used to have in the go-to statements, because there aren't any rules about where the exit goes, so you can actually exit mid-paragraph. Okay, that's not the style that programmers tend to use today. They don't tend to go into a loop and exit halfway through. They may ask questions and do no processing, but they don't tend to exit halfway through. So, okay, on this one, I put the exit at the bottom, which basically means it's much the same as when I do the while loop, because right here I'm saying exit when it's not found, which means that I just I'm not going to do the loop again, but I'm asking right at the bottom before I'm ready to do the loop. So if I use the exit, it is preferable to do it this way because it's a much more structured way. You know, with the while, I go back to the top, make the decision about whether to enter. Here I'm making the decision right at the bottom just before I would go back to the top. Okay, so I'm saying exit when it's not found, and then go back up if it was found. If I exited, then I don't go back up, okay? And so if you're gonna use the exit, this is the way I would use the exit as opposed to having it midstream, because that's a style that people really try to avoid nowadays, okay? And I break the rules periodically and have the exit other places, but this is the way you should do it. Okay, you can have other things inside the cursor too. Okay, I want to process the first four records in the table. I can handle this using row count. Okay, so I'm saying while donut cursor row count is less than 5. So as soon as I have processed the first four records, I get out. But I also want to get out in case there aren't four records to process. Maybe there are only 2 records in the cursor. Well, then I'm going to have a problem if the only thing I'm testing is row count. And I'm testing for row count less than 5. So by doing this, I can say row count less than 5 and the donut cursor found. And that will mean if I found some data and I haven't processed 5 records, then I want to process it. Okay, I haven't processed 4. Okay, so I will continue processing if the donut cursor is found and the row count is 1, 2, 3, or 4. Row count gets too big or the donut cursor isn't found, I get out. Okay. And that shows that. And
and I can have a row ID, and I think I'll actually leave that and go back and look at that. Okay, what I want you to do is go in and try something with a cursor. Okay, so I would pick up one of these that's fairly straightforward, and we don't have the donor file out there, but we have some other kind of file. This would probably be a good one to pick up. So you want to go in and try using a cursor, because I just want you to give that a whirl today. Because we're going to be spending a lot of time, not a lot of time, but next week we'll be talking pretty much steadily about cursors. And they can get very complicated when you've got multiple cursors going on. So I want to make sure you get it. And I'm going to bring up Oracle 2. So pick any one of the tables that you have. That'll be good. Okay, I'm going to make a subset of the employee table, or not make a subset, make a copy of it. So I'm going to create employee part as so I've made this table called employee part. Only I didn't. I just messed up. Hope you did better than I did. All right, now I'm going to try that one more time. Create table, employee part, and I want to have the employee number, the employee name, the job, and the sal. Thank you. Okay, I finally got the table called Employee Part. And so I'm going to use that. The strangest thing happened to me yesterday. My capital T stopped working.
Is it a wireless keyboard?
Nope. It started working again after a while. It was just tired, clearly. But I could type any other capital. I could type lowercase T's, but I just couldn't type capital T's.
Yeah, I've had similar things happen, but with the wireless keyboard.
No.
Like where one letter works and the rest doesn't, and then the exact opposite happens to the same key.
Yeah. Nope, this isn't why it wasn't wireless. I have no idea why it suddenly decided to stop working and why it suddenly decided, okay, I've rested enough and I'll go back to working. I did nothing. It was really kind of bizarre. Okay, now. There's bound to be something that I haven't got right here. But so far, it kind of looks okay to me. Nope, from EMP. Did I make some messes? Okay. Hopefully you did better than I did. Yes, I've got errors everywhere too. How did you do?
I did it.
Okay, we want to see what you did.
I just did a bunch of percent type errors.
It's not liking EMP part type, and I'm getting the same type errors too, but I know that EM part exists.
They must be applied to a variable column field or attribute, not to the part.
Oh. I see what I did. Dumb. Okay, I wrote EMP part, but I didn't put dot in the name of the field. I wasn't paying attention. And once I made the mistake one place, I made the mistake all over the place. So this should be,
It makes you feel better at the exact same thing. Doesn't make
you know?
Better.
Not really. I'm supposed to be even more knowledgeable about this than you are, since I've supposedly done this before. Yeah, right. And once you make the mistake, you keep just following down the whole thing. Okay, so let's see what this does for me now. So file, exit. And now I'm going to do an @ of EMP cursor. Ooh, successfully completed. That was my only problem, okay? So now I have successfully completed it. And so now I'm going to say, all right, I want to see what's in employee part because that was my goal, was to fill it. Okay, select asterisk from would be helpful. There is a reason why I use canned examples all the time that I've done before, is because I can't type. Okay, so here are my rows, and I've got the stuff in there, and apparently everybody was greater than 1,000. So I'm going to go back and change that and make it greater than 2,000. So that I can see only part of it. So I'm going to go back in and say edit employee cursor.
It hurts. Exactly what I
And I'm going to change this to say 2000 now, because I want to eliminate some of the records, and 2000 will eliminate some of the records. Okay, so file save, file exit, and so now I'm going to do it. Well, actually, first let me delete asterisks from employee part so that I don't have any data in there, and only it should be delete. That is one of the things that I absolutely never do right. I really always write delete asterisks, and then remember that no, you're not supposed to have that, and do the delete from. If I had designed Oracle, there'd be an asterisk there, but I didn't get to design it, so therefore.
You okay. Always write strongly worded letters. They seem to work.
What?
You always write strongly worded letters. Make lots of asterisks everywhere. They'll get the point.
Select asterisks from EMP part. Okay, and now I've got just a few records because only those that are greater than 2000 are showing up. So that, you know, limited my things that I had in the cursor. And as we said, I could have had an if statement in there instead, and that would have taken care of it. Okay, so this gives me the cursor, and the cursor is now holding the records, processing the records, and I'm all set with it. As I said, I can go in now and make changes to it. So if I decide that I want to come in here and say, okay, edit employee cursor, and I want to go in and do a calculation, so I can come in now and say, okay, I want to change V salary. So I want to make V salary, and I want to assign to it the previous version of V salary plus 1,000. I'm going to give everybody $1,000 raised. Okay, so I'm going in and saying, take V sal and assign to it V sal plus 1,000. So I'm taking what was in VSAL, changing it to 1,000, and I'm putting that in there. Okay, so I'm going to do a file save, file exit, and I'm actually going to not clear it out this time. I'm going to just add to it so that I can see that it worked a little bit better. Okay, procedure was successful. Select asterisks from employee part. And you can see the names are repeated because I'm starting over again. And you can see that it worked because Jones is down here and they've got $1,000 added. Blake is down here and it's got $1,000 added. So by keeping both of those, I could kind of see easily that it actually worked. Okay, so now let's go in and make a test on this and say if their manager I want to add 1,000, else I want to add 1,500, 2,000, whatever you want to do, but I want to add something to it. Okay, so I'm going to delete now. I'm going to delete from employee part and clear it out. Okay, so now I want to go back in and I want to put an if statement in. So I'm editing employee cursor and I want to put in the if statement that basically says if they're a manager, then I want to add 1,000. For the rest of them, I want to add 2,000, whatever. Okay, I'm giving big raises because I can read them better. Okay, so I now want to go and put an if statement inside the while. So go ahead and throw that in. And you can have different criteria if you want, but I want to throw in an if statement here. Hello.
Class keeps getting smaller and smaller, huh?
The same intimate group that was here.
Intimate, I like that.
Show the if when I do this so that people can see it. Okay, have you got that one going? Don't assume I did it right. We've discovered already that I'm iffy. Okay, the managers appear to have gone up by 1,000, and the president went up by 2,000, as did the analysts. So that worked okay. Okay, because I can see what I had before up there. Okay, so I can have my if statements in there, and I could write as complex an if statement as I wanted to. Okay. So now I'm going to go back in. Did anybody get that one working, the if statement? Have you got the if statement working before I go back in? Before I change it, I should say. Wait a minute. What did I do? I did not edit the right thing. It should be edit employee cursor. Okay, so there's what I've got for my if statement. Remember the then.
Okay, you have to have the then in there. Manager had to be capital. And I needed to have the end if.
Okay, so I need all of those things in order for it to work. Okay, so now if I wanted to, I could have gone back up to the cursor. Let's say I just want managers. If I want just managers, which we had talked about before, I can now take out this if statement. And how can I go back up to the cursor and only get managers? Okay. So I go back up, I took out my if statement, and now I'm going to go back up to the cursor, and what am I going to add to the cursor? And I'm going to say that I want only managers, so I'm going to say VJob equal to manager. So I'm going to say and VJob equal to manager. Okay. So now I am only selecting managers into my cursor. Okay, so if I look at the results of this one, and I do a file save, file exit, and I come back over here and I do an at sign employee cursor, it was successfully completed, and notice I didn't drop, so I'm going to have the stuff at the top. I didn't delete, rather. So now I'm going to say select asterisk from employee part. Okay. I did run it, right? All right, so go find what I did wrong. Did anybody get it working? I should have had a bunch of managers that were greater than 2,000, I think. If I go way back up to the top, managers, yeah, I've got a bunch of managers.
I didn't put a V in mine, it worked.
Huh?
I didn't put a V, it
worked. True. Thank you. Good point.
You want to stop teaching this? Okay. So now I've got, obviously, I'm looking at employee. I'm not looking at what's in here. Putting V job there was not the appropriate thing to do because I'm looking at the fields in the table. Okay? You're on a roll today. And so at this point, I'm selecting from the table. And notice I have job and sal up there. Okay? So I'm selecting from the table. And so clearly I need the names that are out on the table, okay? So now I will do a save, and now I will do an exit, and now I will presumably get it right. And I did, okay, because I just added the three records at the bottom, and the three records at the bottom are managers that had something greater than 2,000. So I only brought in three records at this point, and it's these last three is what I just added. Okay, I added those three records. The others I hadn't done a delete on it, so I had those. Okay, so basically, again, what the cursor does for me is it brings in the records and nothing more than that. It's just a way of processing the records. Okay. So it's just a way of processing the records. So I basically go and I do my standard select. And if I were doing that select inside at the SQL prompt, it would give me all of the records. But instead of putting all of the records out, I am now saying make a cursor that's going to hold all those records. So I now have all of the records that I selected, and I can now go in and, as I said, this sets up the structure that I want to use. Cursor is sets up the structure that I want to use. Then when I open the cursor, it gets populated. Okay, so opening the cursor sets it up. And then I can go through the cursor one record at a time. Okay, and this is the cursor gives me the power to go through the file one record at a time. Okay, I can go through my table one record at a time. And prior to using cursors,
we didn't have that power, okay? I couldn't go through the records here one record at a time, which is why we didn't get to it until we got to Curses. Curses is the way that they chose to set it up to allow me to process individual records, okay? And that's something, if you think at the SQL prompt, certainly I can go and get a individual record. I can get a group of records, but the whole idea of the select is to meet the criteria and show me all the records that meet the criteria, not to let me go through and handle each record individually. So PLSQL gives me the power to select a group of records and handle each record individually. And that's real important, okay, because I can now go in. And I was doing inserts here, but a lot of times what you want to do would be an update, where I want to get a specific group of records, and then I want to check more detail and then do an update depending on the result of the detail. Okay, so I can have an if statement that checks for the detail, and then I can do an update. So I can update the records and make changes to individual records, okay? So if I have big picture criteria, I can put the big picture criteria up when I develop, when I set up the cursor. If I have criteria that once I've got the big picture, I want to look at specific fields and say, if it's this, do this, else do this, else do this, then I can do that by putting an if statement inside. Okay, so the combination of the cursor and then the if statement gives me a lot of power. Okay, so that's what I wanted to go over today, and you didn't ask enough questions, so we're ending a few minutes early. Any questions?
Hey, I just got one. Are you able to switch what table you're gathering the data from? Like, if you have two tables, with they're set up the same way with ID number, name, are you able to switch what table you're gathering the data from while doing this?
Yeah, we're going to look at using multiple cursors, if that's what you're asking.
All right.
So I can have, for example, going to donor. I could set up a cursor for the donor, a cursor for donation, and a cursor from drive, and I can do that. Or I can do a select inside there that uses multiple tables. So I can have where I get a group. So yes, that's what we're going to be looking at. But I wanted to make sure that you were comfortable with basic curve.